This morning we're looking at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And I'm speaking this morning on the true worship of God. You know, when you think about God, the first thing we have to understand is that we're the reason, or He is the reason that we even exist. And in Colossians 1:17 it says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. God exists as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And God has always existed. We exist right now, not only has God created us, but He keeps us alive. We're not alive by our own efforts. As Job 12:10 says, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." Your soul is in His hand. And knowing that we exist because God made us, and we're still alive because God keeps us alive, does it not make sense that we should worship our Creator? But what does it mean to worship God? What's true worship of God? And I'll just touch on a few important things about worshiping God. And in John chapter 4, a good deal of this chapter is an account of the conversation Jesus had with the Samaritan woman at the well as other Samaritans. It says in John 4:6, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." So I just want to focus on conversation Jesus had with the woman later on, starting at verse 20. And notice Jesus says, or the woman says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." The Samaritan woman told Jesus her ancestors worshipped there by Jacob's well. That's where they practiced their idolatrous worship. Samaritans are the people that the Assyrians brought in to occupy the land after they took away the Jews out of the divided kingdom of Israel. You can read all about that in 2 Kings and Chronicles. This happened over 700 years before Jesus was having his conversation with the woman. 2 Kings 17:24 says, "And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, from Cuthah, and from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. So the Samaritan woman went on to say in verse 20, "And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." She knew the Jews worshipped God in Jerusalem, in the holy temple. She understood that all Jewish people believed that this was the place you had to go to make sacrifices to the Lord and to worship Him. But then Jesus speaks to the woman and first tells her in verse 21, we read, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." Jesus tells her that soon Jerusalem will not be the place to worship God. Even the mountain where the Samaritans worship will not be a place to worship God. That's because Jesus has come into the world to change everything. He was soon to take the sins of the world upon himself and die on the cross and shed his blood for the remission of sins. That's why Jesus said, "The hour cometh." And the holy temple in Jerusalem will no longer be needed. For God will no longer come into the most holy place of the temple. God will now come and indwell the hearts of every believer, no matter where they live. 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Now, access to God is possible to anyone in the world. You, me, anybody else who's a believer that have been saved by God through faith in Christ. After telling the Samaritan woman that worshiping God will no longer be in the holy temple in Jerusalem, he then says to her in John 4:22, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." He tells her that she has no idea what she or the other Samaritans are worshiping. That's because they're worshiping idols of wood and stone. They're worshiping things that cannot hear them, cannot speak, cannot move. Jill and I have been to Cambodia, and they worship Buddha. And you get a little statue of a little fat man. That's what they worship. It says in Psalm 115 about idols, 115:4-8, it says, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." The Jews knew what they worshiped, for they worshiped the true and living God. And Jesus says, he said, "For salvation is of the Jews." And as we know, salvation is Jesus Christ himself. He was born of a virgin to two parents who came from the lineage of King David. And that's just as God had promised in the Old Testament. That well-known verse that is in the Messiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Jesus then tells the Samaritan woman what it means to be a true worshiper of God. He says in verse 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Notice he says again, "The hour cometh." Soon he would go to the cross, he would suffer, he would die, and then he would rise from the dead. He would ascend into heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father. And after these events took place, there will be true worshipers of God. And all those who receive Jesus Christ as their saviors will be true worshipers. And all true worshipers worship God in spirit and in truth. See, those are the people that God is seeking to worship him. That's what it says in verse 23. "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the only way we're supposed to worship God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, it's important we take this seriously. It's not a suggestion on how we're to worship. We must worship God. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what does that mean? First, notice that Jesus tells us that God the Father is a spirit. He doesn't have a body of flesh and blood like we do. He doesn't have a body like the angels. But that doesn't mean he has no form, for he does, as we read in Exodus. Moses asked God if he could see his glory. He asked in Exodus 33:18, and he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And we read in verse 20 to 23 what God said. And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Can you imagine that? He puts Moses in a little alcove, and God walks by, but he puts his hand in front of Moses' face so Moses can't see him until he walks by. And then Moses saw the back of God walking, our Creator walking. That's incredible. You see, even though God is a spirit, he has substance, he has form. But since God is a spirit, we must worship him with our spirit. He's not a physical man who we bow down before. We must worship him with our spirit. So what is our spirit? Our spirit is our immaterial, intelligent substance. Our spirit is our substance in which we think and which we know. It's the intelligent, immaterial, and immortal part of every man, every woman, and every child on earth. So we must worship God with our spirit, but we must also worship God in truth. And the truth means sincerity. Our worship must be sincere and authentic worship. In Isaiah chapter 1, God chastised the Jews for not worshiping him in truth. He says in Isaiah 1:13-14, "Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them." Israel was going through the motions. They were taking part in feasts and ceremonies, but their hearts were far from the Lord. They weren't worshiping in spirit and in truth. And God was sick of this hypocrisy. It says in Isaiah 29:13, "Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as the people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men." What does it mean to worship God? It means to revere him, to adore him, to hold him in supreme respect and awe mixed with fear. You know, we look at our idolatrous society today. There are many singers, actors, athletes are being worshipped today. Fans are adoring and revering these performers. There was that singer, Taylor Swift. She's probably one of the most popular singers in the world. So what do they do? What does the government do in the U.S.? They want to get a certain person into the president's office. So they get Taylor Swift to endorse that person because they know that the people who worship her will do what she says. But you see, these people who are adoring and worshiping people like Taylor Swift, they're ignoring the first two commandments, are they not? The first, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow to thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. All of mankind is called to worship God, the living and true God. The Ten Commandments apply to everybody. They apply to people who are Muslims, people who are Hindus, people who are Buddhists, people who are atheists. Everyone is called to not have any other God before them. He's the one who created them. He's the one who gives them life. The only one who can save them from death and the eternal lake of fire is God. All of us must worship our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. It's the only kind of worship that's acceptable to God. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And we must have a right spirit to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. And to have the right spirit, our hearts must be right. For as our heart is, so goes our spirit. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Jesus tells us how important the condition of our heart is in several verses. In one verse, Matthew 12:35, he said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So I just want to touch on three characteristics of our hearts that we must have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And the first is we must have a humble heart. In Luke chapter 18 that Mark read, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, they were two very different men. The Pharisee was a proud man. He believed he was better than everyone else because he did it all right. Whereas the publican, the tax collector, he humbly prayed to God for mercy. He understood his sinful condition. His heart was broken. And it was this publican that God exalted because he came to the Lord with a humble heart. There are so many verses in the Bible that tells us God gives the humble mercy. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them, that's near unto them, that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Contrite means bruised, deeply affected with grief and sorrow for having offended God. You know, God doesn't care how many dollars we give to the church. He doesn't care if we fast every week like the Pharisee did. God wants us to have humble hearts and contrite spirits. That's the only form of worship He'll accept. As David prayed in Psalm 51:16 and 17, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. To worship God in spirit and in truth, we must have humble hearts. Secondly, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, we must have cleansed hearts. James tells us to cleanse ourselves and humble ourselves before God. He says in James 4:8-9, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Two very important conditions of our heart: humble hearts and cleansed hearts. If we continue to live sinful lives as Christians. We cannot worship God in spirit and in truth. We must remember that sin will harden our hearts. It can lead us to walking away from God. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. After David committed adultery and he arranged to have Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed in battle, his sin was then exposed for all of Israel to know. And David repented, and that's when he wrote Psalm 51, where he prayed to the Lord that he would be cleansed from all his sin. He said in 51:2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And then in verse 9 and 10, David prays, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David begged God to cleanse his heart. Our heart, if our hearts are harboring sin, we need to pray that God would cleanse our hearts. For cleansed hearts are necessary to worship God in spirit and in truth. That's why it's so important to read our Bibles. The Word of God is like having a shower on your spirit, where the words from the Lord, they bathe our minds with the pure truth of God to wash away any evil and unclean thoughts and replace them with the pure Word of the Lord. It tells us this in Ephesians 5:26, that He may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. We must wash away the filthiness so we can worship our Father in spirit and in truth. 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And a third condition of our heart to worship God in spirit and in truth is we must have submissive hearts. You know, we live in a very rebellious society now, do we not? Do you not agree? Many people have contempt for the police, for authority. You know, I've read comments by people that reveal the hatred in their hearts to law and order. But we must resist the way of the world, which is becoming increasingly lawless. We must have submissive hearts. We must submit to God and His commandments and not the devil's ways. James 4:7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Some pastors and churches might say we're under grace. And as Christians, if you live by rules and regulations, you're just being legalistic. But pastors that say that as an argument are just excusing people to ignore the commandments of God. Jesus is clear about the need for us to obey the Word of God. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." You know, memorize the Ten Commandments. They're very necessary for each one of us to take to heart. When we submit to the Word of God, when we obey His commandments, we show that we love our Savior. And by submitting to God's will, we will abide in the love of Christ. Just as Jesus abides in the love of God. Jesus said in John 15:10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." In the book of Revelation, it tells us that Christians who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Christ through the great trials that come upon them are the ones who will endure through the trials. Revelation 14:12, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." They endured through the fiery trial during the last days because they had submissive hearts. And with submissive hearts, they worshiped God in spirit and in truth. This morning, I've only touched on the surface of worship. But you know, it's important that we, each one of us, worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, worship isn't something we do 1 hour a week on a Sunday. We worship God when we come to church. That's called corporate worship. But our private worship is also very important. Our private worship is something we do during the week. It's when we give God thanks for the mercy he shows us. Give him thanks every day. The mercy that we do not deserve. Our private worship is when we thank him for the tender-hearted love he has given us by adopting us as one of his own, and the promise of eternal life that he's given us, the inheritance of his glorious and eternal kingdom. And our private worship is when we make changes in our lives, keeping our hearts humble, keeping our hearts clean, and having a submissive heart, so we can worship our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we continue this morning to worship you and take part in the Lord's Supper to remember the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the mercy you have shown to us. We thank you for your grace that we as believers have been given when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I know, Lord, that it's not something we did by our own efforts. It was only by faith in Jesus that we were given that gift of salvation. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who hasn't trusted Jesus, who hasn't repented and said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin, and I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that he rose from the dead. He's in heaven right now with you. Lord, please save me. Please adopt me as one of your own. Lord, I pray that all of us here will just enjoy worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And I pray this in Jesus' name.